Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. Hey, Raise to Empower listeners. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different than what you're used to. And you may notice that already. We're not having our introduction music. This episode isn't even going out when episodes usually drop. And there's a reason for that. Today, I want to talk with you a little bit about something that really needs our attention as service providers, as mental health care professionals, just as American citizens that are part of our country. And we really need help to get the word out about what's going on. I'm a social worker. That's my background. Advocacy, social justice is part of the tenets of social work. And I know for many of us, even if we aren't social workers in our own profession, in our own ethics and values, personally and professionally, advocacy is part of that as well. And so that's where my guests and I today are kind of hoping to call us all into this issue to try and get some eyes around this to maybe make some changes here. And so I have a colleague with me here today. I'll introduce her in just a second. Her name is Megan Numbers, and she and I are going to be talking about this crisis that is facing military service members, their families, spouses, their kids, retirees, veterans. And what is going on is that we are experiencing a healthcare crisis for our military that is not just connected to medical healthcare, it's connected also to mental healthcare. And if this does not get resolved soon, this is kind of like a ticking time bomb that I'm afraid is going to just end up having some catastrophic effects on service members and their families. So, before we kind of like dive into what's going on, Megan, can you just introduce yourself and share with listeners a little bit about you and your background?
Sure. I'm Megan Numbers. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision. I'm also a licensed clinical mental health counselor and registered play therapist in North Carolina. I own and operate a small private practice. There's six of us, including myself, and where we specialize in working with children and adolescents and behavioral mental health care, particularly working with, specialize in working with military families. And so 90% of our caseload are military families. And so that's why this issue is really important and why, you and I are talking about it today.
Yeah. And for those that maybe are listening to this for the first time, just a little bit about my practice. I'm also a mental health therapist. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. My practice is all completely online because I am also a military spouse and we move frequently. And so having an online practice has allowed me to continue to work with families, continue to work with clients, and have a practice regardless of where we move. I'm licensed in states in different parts of this country, and I work with military families in all of them as well. So I'll kind of break it down, just like a high overview of understanding how TRICARE works in this country. And then I'll kind of talk a little bit about what's going on in one part. And then Megan will kind of share about the other issues that are being faced in this other part. So the United States is broken up into different TRICARE regions. So we have what's called TRICARE East, which like it doesn't officially like split the US down right in the center, but it breaks it up into there's an East region and a West region. And so there are unfortunately issues being faced in both regions right now. They're different situations, but they are both causing this crisis. So what is happening in the TRICARE West region? On January 1st, the contractor that has held the TRICARE West contract for I think, I don't know, at least a decade, maybe close to that. Megan, I don't know if you know.
I think it's 8 years.
Eight
It's like every
years.
8 years.
Yeah. So that was Health Net Federal Services. They held the contract. And January 1st, it changed over to TriWest Healthcare Alliance. This change, we have known it's been coming for a couple years. It even was supposed to happen a year ago. They weren't ready, so they postponed it. This change is supposed to have been happening, but many providers were not really told or even found out about this until like September, October. I know some who even were like the end of December, like, wait, what's happening? There was just not really clear communication around what was happening. Most providers have been under the assumption that, okay, if we're already a TRICARE West provider, our contracts are just going to switch over from Health Net Federal Services to TriWest. Well, we suddenly became aware very last minute, like, no, that's not the case. Not only are you going to have to be recredentialed, but you have to let TriWest know, hey, I'm interested. So you had to fill out this form, basically just get put on a wait list. And what they were telling providers is, thank you for signing up on this wait list. If we need you, we'll let you know. Which I can tell you, as a beneficiary of TRICARE and as a provider, there are not enough TRICARE providers. So, for there even to be this sense of like, well, maybe we'll need you, maybe we won't, is just ridiculous. So, we've all just been kind of put in this list. And so, as the end of 2024 has been rolling down, rolling down, rolling down, many of us were kind of in a panic because we have clients that we see. We have patients. And I'm speaking, primarily from the mental health standpoint, that for me to just say, hey, like, I'll see you when I see you, or I don't know if I can see you, there's potential for a mental health crisis to happen there with a client, right? Like, it's not just like, oh, well, I'll go find somebody else that can kind of manage my medical situation. That's not a specialty care, because that's a whole other thing, right? Providers have been trying to get contracts, trying to get contracts, trying to get contracts. January 1 has rolled around, and many providers are, like myself, are still without contracts. We continue to try to reach out to TriWest to basically be told we don't know when you'll get information. I finally got a call out of that queue to say, hey, if you are still interested, let us know. So I called back and I'm now put in another line of waiting for subcontractors to get in touch. So there's just this kicking the can down the road that nobody is doing anything. Language continues to change, it seems sometimes daily. I've seen it change from 1 hour to the next on the TriWest website, on the TRICARE website about like what's allowed. They are saying that TRICARE beneficiaries can continue to see mental health providers without a referral and not have to pay anything until after March 31st. But many of us are, I'm concerned that I'm not even going to have a contract by then. I am still continuing to see clients under the TriWest region, but I've not been successful with billing. I have submitted claims. I can't even really tell if they've been received. I'm unclear that they have the correct information to send me payments. Megan and I participated in a call with Mission Alpha, which is an advocacy group for military families, especially with ABA services. And there were providers on there who have gone through the process with TriWest of submitting their paperwork, submitting their contracts, sending it in multiple times, and yet their payment systems, they're sending paper checks to places that are not their own address, or they're sending paper checks to a place that like they don't live anymore or they don't work. Or they just don't even have a contract at all. And so there are many providers that are in the position with TriWest of saying, we're no longer taking TRICARE clients. We're going to have to discharge them. And TriWest has kind of said, we'll just send them to another TRICARE provider. But the reality is, I suspect there are more providers without contracts than there are providers with contracts at this point, just from the anecdotal pieces that I'm hearing. What it has seemed like at times is that the practices or healthcare agencies that have kind of made the most noise have been the ones to get contracts, to get seen and get things taken care of by TriWest. And then the rest of us who are more in either solo practice or small clinics or small groups are really still left scrambling. And a lot of times that's where a lot of the care is, I think, with TRICARE clients. So, how is this impacting military families? I know of individuals in the West region who they've not been able to get specialty care, they've had surgeries that have been canceled. that have been scheduled for months prior because the providers, the systems are not able to connect in any kind of portal or authorization process with TriWest to say, can we perform this surgery and it's going to be covered. TriWest is not able to verify any of this stuff. I know individuals who have had active duty service members that are undergoing cancer treatment, and they have had their cancer treatment put on hold because they cannot get the referrals and authorizations because the TriWest system is so messed up and has not connected and contracted with providers. So major medical care is being foregone and is not happening because of this mess. Not only is this impacting us providers, it's absolutely having a direct impact on our military service members and their family. We need action to do something about this. So that's the West region, and I could go on for like another hour about the mess here. But Megan, talk to us a little bit about what is happening in the East region, because it's a different situation, but it is
Right.
still just a complete disaster.
Right. Yeah. So, in the East region, the TRICARE contract is still being held by Humana, sort of like as the overseer of everything. But when you submit claims through like Humana or the Health Net Federal Services, it goes to a claims processor. So what the transition was for TRICARE East region on January 1st was going to a different claims processor. So prior to January 1st, we had WPS as our claims processor, and now we have PGBA. Like you and all of our other colleagues and providers in the West region, we weren't notified of this change until like October. And the letter that we got was, if you're in the East region, have no fear. You don't have to do anything because everything's staying the same. We're just transitioning to a different claims processor. So we're like, okay, cool. I didn't learn about needing to resubmit a new EDI agreement or EFT paperwork to PGBA until like November. And I learned that through Facebook. I didn't get any information, from PGBA or Humana. So I snail mailed to the address on file, that paperwork, and then I emailed the email that was listed on the paperwork to say, hey, did you receive confirmation, of my paperwork? And the person emailed back said, no, I haven't. I have no way of checking. I'm like, okay. So January 1st, comes around, and me personally, I could log into the Humana portal, but I couldn't submit claims through the old claims processing system or the new one. So I couldn't even. Every time I tried, I would just give me an error. About 10 days into January, I could start to submit claims. And like I said, I'm a small private practice, I have like six people in the private practice, and all of a sudden, none of my other providers are linked to my group practice. So I can't submit any claims for them. I have not been able to submit one claim, and it's January 1st. And we see anywhere from 80 to 90 clients a week. So that's a lot of claims and a lot of, money that we're missing. So for myself, I can submit claims, which I did, but then I can't check them. I can't check to see the status of those claims, if they were submitted correctly, if they're in process, or if they were denied or anything like that. Furthermore, my provider demographics in the portal or in the system is wrong. My EIN is not linked to my NPI. Like I said, my providers are not in there anymore. And now my billing address is somewhere in South Carolina. I've never practiced there. I've never lived there. And the crazy part about that is when I call Humana to get vetted and verified in the system before speaking to a representative, I don't know that billing zip code. So I can't get vetted. And so when I'm like asking them, they're like, well, that's incorrect. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what it is. Like, well, we can't tell you because you can't verify it. It's like, well, then how am I gonna, do this? What do we do to work around this? So Humana has said, and for certain things, well, you need to call PGBA. Well, we call PGBA. I've never gotten through to a real person, left messages, and then I've had one person call back and say, actually, that's a TRICARE thing. It's not a PGA thing. So it's just the runaround. There's no accountability. It's everyone passing the buck. The last time I called, they say, well, now you need to email your, representative or your liaison for your area or your region. Done that through the secure messaging portal system. So we've gone through all of the channels. We have exhausted everything that we need to do, and we have done everything, all the right steps, but they're just really, dropping the ball here. And while our claims processing issue is not directly affecting beneficiaries. I've spoken to providers and they are not wanting to take TRICARE anymore, just like you're noticing in the West. And not only that, we're kind of at a loss for what to do. We need to get paid for our services. We need to make our livelihood. So we're going to be forced to ask our clients to pay us, for cash pay. And then that puts a financial burden on our clients. And if they can't, then they're risking losing mental health care or, having to go back on the wait list for, specialty care. We're considered specialists because we work with children and adolescents. So, it's just this trickle down effect that I, like you, fear is going to get worse the longer that this continues to happen.
Well,
So that's where we're at.
yeah, and you and I were on the call the other night where it was providers that were on this call from both regions as well as, beneficiaries. And I think, it had not even ever occurred to me in all of this for providers like you. It's not just you, because I am in solo practice, but you have other providers that you're having to pay. And listening to some of these other ABA providers who some of them have like large practices and they're talking about taking out loans to be able to cover
I
their
know.
expenses. And then not only that, some of them are have given their clients 30 days notice that in 30 days, if this is not resolved, we're going to have to discharge you. And a lot of them are stationed near military installations and
I
they,
have EFMP,
And so for those who don't know, within the military, like if you have a family member who has some kind of special condition, whether it is medical condition, mental health, behavioral condition, the military has to make sure you are stationed in a location that can provide the services that your family needs.
Needed.
And so, what they have to do is they have to verify, are there services in place near these installations? And it has to be within a certain radius. Now, suddenly, a lot of these families who have family members in these programs that need this specialty care are not going to be able to access it because it's no longer going to exist there. And again, well, okay, we're going to discharge you and give you referrals elsewhere. Where else are they going to go? And this is not anything against the providers. Like you've got to do what you've got to do, but where are these families supposed to go?
And for my practice in particular, I have two of the only registered play therapists in our county. And it's like, where you're going to be driving an hour. I mean, that's another barrier to care,
Yes.
transportation, time, and even within the provider manual, being able to receive specialty care within an adequate time period,
Yeah.
like I think it's like 4 weeks or
Yeah.
something, for referrals and authorizations, especially for TRICARE Prime clients. So, there's going to be a lot of barriers that TRICARE beneficiaries are going to face, from the backlash of this.
Yeah. And yes, people can go to emergency rooms and still receive emergency care, but the majority of the care we need is not emergency room, based.
No. It's consistent weekly check-ins,
Yes.
checkups, mental health care. I mean, specialty. I think the one of the moms that we heard, their kiddo needed like two different specialists on a
Yeah.
routine, consistent basis.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just really, it's really sad what's happening.
If this is not resolved, like you said, where we're going to have to start asking patients and clients to pay up front. And for a lot of military families, that is just not feasible for them to have to pay for care. And it's honestly like wishing and hoping and like that TRICARE will eventually reimburse them, which they should. But with the way the system is, like who knows how long that'll take. When this is not just also impacting families, but also impacting active duty service members who may need specialty care. And so, what does that mean for military readiness? Like, I don't know if you want to speak to, for those who are not familiar with military, like, what does that mean? Like, because we need to have our military service members like ready to go.
And yeah, just like, the readiness, the resiliency, and the retention of our military force, like our military families being taken care of so that the service member can only focus on the mission at hand, the mission and the task that is in front of them, to go and serve and protect our country. But if they're worried about their family members not getting cancer treatments,
Yeah.
life-saving treatments, mental health care, we already know that this, suicide is increased. Like just in my county alone, in the last 6 months, we have had several deaths by suicide. And it's insane to me that this is even a thing. Across all, specialties of medical care, but particularly mental health care. So, I mean, that's going to affect, the resilience, the readiness, and the retention, because if service members and their families aren't able to get the specialty care or be in locations where the EFMP programs, can offer what they're saying they can, then they're going to be, compassionate relocations to places where they can get care. So it's going to disrupt, the system as a whole. It's not just providers. If providers aren't getting paid, our livelihood is at risk. Then what is that doing to our own mental health and our ability to be there and to show up for our clients when we're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills this month?
And I know there are many other military spouses like me who, whether they are mental health providers or I know several that work in like ABA services that have their own businesses and stuff. If this is impacting me on a military level because I'm a military spouse and like this is my livelihood too. So it's impacting the military families in that way as well. And if you're listening to this and you don't typically serve military families, thank you. But people may be saying like, well, why should I care? What should I do? Like, I'm not impacted by the military, but we are, right? You may not be a military family. You may not necessarily be a provider that does accept TRICARE, but we still need your help because if you're not necessarily in the military, you may know somebody that is a friend, a colleague, a brother, a sister, a cousin. You may have somebody that moves from one side of the country to another side of the country because that happens all the time with the military. And they were facing this issue over here and now they're facing it over there. We are protected by our military. I'm a Coast Guard family, protects our shorelines. The rest of the military branches protect us overseas. And so this is important to us. And it is important not just for military families, but for us as a country. We really do need people to help in getting the word out about this. So Megan and I have been metaphorically pounding the pavement with behind the keyboard and the phone. And I know other providers have been doing this as well. Megan, do you want to just kind of share a little bit about what you've been doing? I'll kind of share what I've been doing, and then kind of we'll talk about what we need people to help us with next.
So aside from, calling TRICARE and PGBA and just hounding them, which has not gotten us anywhere, I've reached out to media.military.com just so you see if we can get some media attention to this. I have emailed the congressman in my county, which is Moore County, North Carolina. I've emailed the North Carolina state senators, Senator Budd and Tillis, and I think they've made contact with that Mission Alpha advocacy group that we were on the Zoom meeting with. I also have spoke to somebody at the National Military Family Association, who in turn is she's going to be speaking to some of the representatives at TriWest and Humana. So hopefully we will have some more information to provide everyone, at least on a time frame of what we can expect. And so, it feels like we've just sort of exhausted everything other than going to Congress themselves, and Fox News or CNBC, MSNBC, anything like that, any like of those big media outlets. But I think that we like people can start calling their congressmen, their senators. If we're all of our voices are being used and heard, like that creates a bigger pool, a bigger, I don't know, a bigger thing to that can't go unnoticed, if you will.
And I've been doing a lot of the same. I've been reaching out to congressional reps, the senators in the states that I'm licensed in, where I'm a resident, where I currently reside, reaching out to media that I have had connections with in the past. And I've made several different posts on social media since mid-December, and I'm trying to just
Yeah,
tag
same.
anybody and everybody. Like, get this out to somebody. A couple things that we're needing your help to do. Reach out to your congressional representatives, to your senators. If you just search, and I can put a link to in the show notes of how you can search for who your reps are, to send them a note of your concerns. If you're a provider, speak directly to what you're experiencing, whether you are in the East region, whether you are in the West region. If you're not a provider, if you're a family, speak to what you're experiencing, speak to the hurdles that you have run into. They want to hear from families a lot, more than they will providers because you are the ones that are directly impacted by this. Yes, we as providers are, but the alarm bells are going to go off more if they hear that military service members are not getting the care they need. So reaching out to your congressional reps, reaching out to your senators, reaching out to media outlets. I'm going to be putting a link in the show notes that is going to link to a Google Drive folder. And in that folder, you're going to find a couple things. Mission Alpha is an organization Megan and I both have met with recently that the advocacy is their work. And so they have given us several pieces of resources to help get the word out. So in that folder, you're going to find a press release. You're also going to find a one-page sheet that you can use to send to press. You can also use to send to your representatives if you're able to get a direct email that you can attach things to. We also need help reaching out to organizations that can sometimes help move the needle. So you talked about National Military Family Association. Another one that we're trying to reach out to as well is MOAA, which is Military Officers Association of America. There's a few others like VOA, I think it's Veterans of America, American Legions, any organization that has connections to the military or to veterans. They are able to help lobby Congress, lobby representatives in a way that the average citizen may not be able to. So, if you're posting something on social media, if you haven't, I encourage you to, especially if you are a family member, especially if you are a provider, post your story, send it, tag it, have people share it. We're recording this on January 20th. There's a new administration. This is not a partisan issue whatsoever, but there's a lot that's going to be happening at the beginning of a new administration. And so, we need to just make sure that the pulse stays on this and so that it just doesn't get lost because there's going to be a lot of change coming, and it's going to be easy for this just to kind of get pushed by the wayside. But we need to keep the pulse on this. So, sending letters, reaching out, making follow-up calls, follow-up emails is going to be so, so important.
Everything that you said. All
Anything
great
that you
action
think
steps.
we haven't highlighted here, Megan, that you think is going to be important for people to take away from this or that we want them to do?
I don't think so. I think those are all great, like call to action steps right now for this acute stressor. And I know personally, and I've talked to you, is that after this settles, something that's going to be on my agenda is to advocate for policy change to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again, not just for providers, but for beneficiaries, because I think that's really important. And I've been a TRICARE provider for 8 years. And so I think I came in right at the beginning of the last contract transition. So I didn't witness it. But I think this seems like it's common, but nothing has been done to prevent it from happening. So those would be the next steps. After this acute issue is resolved, that would be the next step so that our beneficiaries are not getting their health care changed or they don't have access to it or anything like that. So that's going to be important next steps.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you have listened the whole way through, thank you so much. Please share this episode with somebody else that you think could benefit from it, whether they are a family member, whether they are a provider. Send this to your representative. Send this episode to media outlets. That would just help to, I don't know what to tell you, but listen to this so that you understand what's going on. Please do that. Thank you guys for listening. And if you yourself are a provider or a family and you are looking just to kind of help get the word out or just somebody else to have your information, please feel free to reach out to Megan and I as well. And we'll try to help you navigate where to get your story out. So thanks so much, guys.